If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so that it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money off your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. So, make sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? We'd like to say hello and welcome to another episode of the EX3 Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Jordan Pierce, alongside, as always, Mr. EX3. What's going on with you?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? On this wonderful night, I'm out here in Florida.
Must be nice.
A little chilly tonight.
I don't want to hear nothing about being chilly, bro.
It's like 56 degrees.
Yeah, bro. I ain't want to hear none of that. It was 20 all day up here, my nigga.
No, we going through it right now, you know.
Man, no, I don't want to hear none of that cold talk. Florida, y'all be having that beautiful weather all year round.
Yeah, we had to wear a jacket today, though.
Yeah, I'd rather wear a jacket than a coat.
Hey, man, listen. You can always move here, man.
Nah, I'm good on that.
I'm
good off that one.
I love it.
Too humid, man. Jersey too humid, and I ain't about to move to Florida. Oh, man, nah, I can't. I couldn't do that.
At least you got the beach, man.
I got the beach in Jersey. What you mean?
No, don't you dare compare Jersey Beach to the Florida Beach. Don't you dare.
I'm just cool
all year round.
I'm just saying.
100 degrees outside and the water's still freezing cold.
You right, but still.
You can walk on the boardwalk, but you still not trying to get in that water.
I feel you on that. But hey, it's here if I want to get into it.
You right.
But nah, man. Well, real quick before we get into it, did you watch any of the, I know National Championship was last night. Did you watch any of the other games, the playoff games, the wild cards?
The NFL.
Yeah, did you watch any of them?
I caught a little bit of the Tampa Bay game. You know, I'm kind of in my feelings right now because, you know, my Eagles just... Just was such a disappointment. Not only had a disappointing season, but the way that last game went out was atrocious. And I see that they fired the head coach.
Well, you knew something was gonna happen.
Wasn't really surprised. To me, it seemed like he kind of wanted to get out of there. So.
Your organization just needs some help, man.
Yeah, and question Jeffrey Lurie, and you know, basically ask him about the decision making that's been going on with these draft picks, and he really didn't have much to say. Like, you know, he didn't put any onus or any responsibility on the GM and. And he just keeps talking about you gotta look at the whole thing and start comparison with us and other teams that have that's in the NFL and I'm just like, this is not a comparison question.
Yeah.
You can simply just look at the fact that we had an opportunity to get DJ Metcalf. And we pick Osega Whiteside. Like that right there is enough for me to say somebody is.
I feel like y'all almost like trying to sabotage, you know what I mean?
Right. Talent acquisition is just horrible. And whoever is assessing the talent and trying to get the guys off the board is just not doing a very good job with it. And like you said, it's kinda like, well, we know for sure the head coach was trying to sabotage that last game. Like,
yeah.
If your goal was to play Sudfeld and see what he can do, right, or whatever.
You should have started
him. The reason is that you should have started him.
Yep, absolutely. Should have started him. Should have started him, maybe play the first half, and then tried to see if y'all can win the game second half.
Right, there you go.
That'd have been a smarter way to do it.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have been so scrutinized and criticized.
Yep.
But yeah, he set himself up for failure. But like I said, it's probably a good thing for him at this time to get out of there, because he just wasn't. I think his direction and the direction of the organization just wasn't in line.
Yeah. But on a good note, you see my Rams doing their thing.
I didn't even pay attention to
that. Listen. We handle Seattle, right? Yeah, we handle business. You know, it's something business as usual. We got
business as usual.
You feel me? Number one defense. You feel me? Okay. Number one defense in the league. But we do get a ball up too much. I think that's I think every game this year we had a turnover. Like, heck yeah, either Jared Goff threw an interception or was a fumble, but most of the time, Jared Goff threw an interception, that'd be making me mad, yo.
I really don't think he's an elite quarterback.
He's decent.
I think, luckily for the franchise, they've done a good job of placing people around him to kind of mask his deficiencies.
Yeah, I feel like watching him, because I don't think he's an elite quarterback either. And this comes from me. I think he's decent.
Yeah.
My thing is, I feel like his biggest flaw is he doesn't read through progression. Like, whatever the hot read is before the snap, that's where he's throwing the ball to, regardless of anything. It could be double coverage. It could be, he's eyeing the receiver the whole time. That's why he gets picked off so much.
And that's why we made the comment that he's not an elite quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We never said he wasn't an NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's good enough to be in the league. We're not saying he shouldn't have been drafted or nothing like that.
Yeah.
There is some guys that's in that category, but he's not elite.
Yeah, he's not elite at all. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this week though. We got the Packers, so we'll see.
Who you guys play?
Y'all
go down there, or is it?
Yeah, we go down. We go to Green Bay. It's gonna be a tough one.
Check that game out.
It's gonna be a tough one. The defense got to step up big this year.
Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay, I'm gonna try to check that game out.
Yeah, Saturday I think is who else? Who else play? Kansas City and the Browns play. That's gonna be a good game, I think. I got Kansas City winning it all, but I think it'll be a good game.
I was surprised what the Browns did to. Also, I was kind of surprised. Surprised and not surprised, because they're very familiar with Pittsburgh, and
mm-hmm.
So I knew the matchup was gonna be. One of those games where it was either going to be tight or one team was going to be in a position where they decided to study this other team no other.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a tight game too. I was surprised that they did them dirty.
They were like, "Listen, man, enough is enough."
Mm-hmm.
And Ben out there just looking like, "Sheesh."
Yeah.
Ben had a bad game.
Yeah, he might retire, man. Getting up there in age.
Yeah, he was crying on the sideline. Too old to be taking all them hits, man. It's okay.
Word. He might have to retire. But nah, a couple of games look good. I ain't see the Baltimore game, but they had won it out. I didn't have them winning, though. But they won.
Yeah, they played the Titans, right?
Yeah. I didn't have them winning, but they wound up pulling it out. Who else played this weekend? Dang, who else played? Tampa Bay, I caught a little bit of that. Well, I watched the highlights of that game. That was cool. I had Brady winning, so I wasn't really impressed. Yeah, I think that was all on too, because whatchamacallit them had a bye. Nah, didn't the Saints play this weekend?
Yeah, the Saints did play.
Yeah, so they won.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won. They beat, who'd they play?
I don't know. Were they in the wild card game?
Nah, we had the wild card.
Yeah, I have no idea what the Saints
played. I forget who they played, but I know they won. I can't think of who they played off the top of my head right now. It's pissing me off. Anyway, they won, so that's cool. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm sliding through to New Jersey this weekend, so...
Word.
I'll be around the area. I'll surprise my little ones and pop up on them.
That's lit. If I ain't working, maybe we can link or something. But the national championship game, man, yesterday. That mug. Listen.
Well, you got a team that's 12-0, and a team that's 7-0.
Listen.
I think that makes a lot of difference.
It does.
And I think that they expose Ohio State. And actually Fields a little bit. They kind of showed he was playing lights out as if he was inhumane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they kind of once they settled in and kind of like saw what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of exposed him a little bit. He didn't throw the ball as well as he has throughout the year thus far. Maybe because of the amount of games they played, you know what I mean, and the competition that they played.
It definitely could have been.
And also what I realized was, remember when the game was, I believe, 14-14, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Alabama went up 21-14.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ohio State came right back down. It was, I think they got within, they were like on the 15-yard line.
Yeah, they wound up settling for a field goal, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had got, as a matter of fact, they had got a penalty. The tight end got hit in the head.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
They kicked the safety out of the game.
Yeah.
And they got the ball. It was probably like maybe at the 8-yard line or something.
Yeah.
It was like first and goal. And they threw the ball 3 times.
Well, I think that's because they running back got hurt at the beginning of the game, remember?
So, man, listen.
Listen, I mean, 30,
No. I'm talking about the running back that scored twice.
True. 33 did score. Yeah, you're right. Twice. Yep, you're right.
He scored their last 2 touchdowns. So yeah. It's like, why then you go down the field, you're, because it was, as a matter of fact, they ran 3 plays, so they got the ball. They were down 21-14. The first play that they ran, Fields broke for like a long run.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then the second play was that running back, and he broke for like a long run.
Yeah.
And then the third play was the pass play to the tight end.
That got the penalty.
And they got the penalty.
Yeah.
And now they're on the 8-yard line. It's first and goal at the 8. And you throw the ball 3 times?
Yeah, that's something.
That doesn't make any sense to me. And when that happened, that's when I said, when they had to settle for a field goal, that's when I said, this game's going to get out of hand. Because there was no reason for you to, that's some Philadelphia Eagles shit right there. You know what I mean? That's some Doug Peterson shit right there. So that doesn't make any sense. You don't run the ball not once. You got a mobile quarterback, and you have a running back that scored 2 touchdowns already.
Yeah,
and he's a big dude.
He's a bigger dude, so he probably because the actual starter isn't that even that big. He's just shifty.
Yeah, he's like a shifty kid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
So
yeah, I knew about Alabama was gonna win. I had no ounce of my body that thought they was gonna lose, but. I just thought it was going to be a more interesting game. And it was the first half. I say the first half was pretty interesting. Right, but after that, it kind of got out of hand real quick. But the commentators, they had pointed out, because I noticed last night too, bro, that like Ohio State was letting Alabama get off the ball free as hell. Like, right. they wasn't touching them at all. They was just letting them run their routes. And I'm like, that's right. Why y'all getting beat. Like, if a dude burning you gotta, you know what I mean? Like, you gonna get burnt, so like, try to jam him a little bit or something.
Right, throw off the timing.
Exactly,
man.
But the commentator was like, yeah, you can't let him go free like that, blah, blah. He just ran smooth. It was one of the touchdowns he scored.
he didn't even make no moves, he just literally ran.
Just ran, right, exactly, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, bruh, like, you ain't get a hand on him at all. They was, like, the whole game, they were just letting him go free the whole game. the whole game. And I was like, yo, this is out of hand. Like, how y'all not? And because my thing is, they was playing them like they was going to jam them. I was watching, they was playing them like up close. They wasn't bailing. They were just sitting there.
Yeah.
And then just getting burnt. And I was like,
yeah, it didn't make any sense
to me either. At all. But, you know, it's a good game. Congratulations to Alabama. You know, it's the Nick Saban 7 top. I guess it's crazy. The organization over there.
We're used to that.
Yeah, right? They've been on the run since, like, what, 07, 08? They've been on, like, a nice little run. They've been in the conversation. I don't know who to recruit.
Yeah, and saying coach that, over though, there, it's like, crazy. Well, you know, it's not hard to recruit there either. I mean, everybody on their mom wants to go there.
True. But you got to think about it. It started. They had to start that somehow. You understand? It's like,
So
I'm saying, whoever,
that culture.
Listen,
I'm sure that person's not there anymore. He's probably a head coach somewhere.
Probably
at this point, because they, you know, they coach people try to grab coaches out of there every chance they get. As they should. One of my buddies is was there for a little while, and then he was a strength and conditioning coach there, and then he went to Samford, then he was at Colorado, and now he's at University of Maryland.
That's what's up.
So those East Coast kids, man, if you know, guys got some talent, can do some things. He messaged me the other day and was like, we always looking for talent, coach.
Gotta get some kids over there. But all right, enough about this weekend. Let's get to this pod, man. What we talking about today?
We are talking about combating adversity and mental privilege.
Mental privilege.
I've had to have some interesting conversations more recently, very recently, with some of my athletes and such, about uncertainty and adversity. And the whole uncertainty aspect is the fact that you don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a world where we like to dictate things and we like to project things and we act as if we got it all worked out, right? We got it all figured out. And we really don't. And this year, 2020 has opened up our eyes, literally. Talking about 2020 vision, right?
Yeah, right.
Has opened our eyes, literally, to the fact that we don't know anything. And we got to be able to adjust to things when they come to the forefront and be able to rock, to grind with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And figure out things on the move. So, you know, I was talking to them about yesterday, our head varsity basketball coach had to leave. He had a family emergency or something and had to leave. He's not going to be here all week. And we're not sure actually when he's coming back. But all of a sudden, you know, I was asked to be in that, to play that role and be the head basketball coach. And so, obviously, these guys are kind of freaking out, wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, we're just starting to get some things together and get better. And now coach is gone. And I just had to really dive into them and get them to understand that I understand where your mindset is and how disheartening this can be. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to make the adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Life is a role. And I use the analogy of Will Smith, right? Will mm-hmm. Smith plays a lot of different movies.
Mm-hmm.
And Denzel Washington playing a lot of different movies. And some movies, they're funny. Some movies, they're a villain. Some movies, they're the hero. And so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in their real, actual lives, there's somebody else.
Yeah, completely so, different. Uh-huh.
Right. So we're all playing a role in this big thing in life, and we have to understand and be able to navigate that role. You got to know, and I told them, you're playing a role on the basketball team. If I put you at point guard, I expect you to play that role a certain way. If I put you at center, I expect you to play that role in a different way. Mm-hmm. And if you can't make the adjustment in that role and become a different person within that role, then the job's not going to get done. And so that's how actual real life is. You know, you got to know when to step into a role and how to navigate throughout so that you can get to your success point.
Yeah, and that's
so
that's,
I hope that resonated.
Yeah, I'm about to say that does resonate, and especially like it's a definitely a life you always, especially with how 2020 had treated us. Like I just said earlier, like 2021, we kind of have to go into this year with no expectations, like on anything. Like I feel like this year, probably the first year in history that nobody has like planned out their year, because you kind of don't know. There's so much uncertainty, so you just kind of got to roll with what's been given and roll with what you can do in the present moment. So I like the fact that, I mean, I guess it's a blessing and a curse, right? You know what I mean? Because like you have the whole COVID thing, right? So like we don't want that, but at the same time, it does help everybody kind of grasp the idea of like life is
reality.
Yeah. You know, like they always say, they always say life is a marathon, not a sprint. I really feel like people kind of grasp that this past year, and I feel like with any sport and anything, it's kind of the same thing, because you don't know, like cross country, for example. Like I never ran cross country, but I know people who did, and I'm assuming that you like run over different terrain sometimes, you know what I mean? Like everything ain't level, like, you know what I mean? So you kind of gotta, there's gonna be adversity in sports. So like with the basketball team, there's gonna be adversity in that. Like it could be,
it's,
you know what I mean?
It's funny that you brought up cross country, because I coached it. I coached it for 2 years. Before that, I'm like, all right, this is whatever. They're running a whole lot.
Yeah.
And you think about it as just running. You're like, that's kind of boring. And this is, you know, as long as you can keep running and finish the race, then okay, you did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I got a newfound appreciation for them when I saw what it took. And because, like you said, there's different terrains. You don't know the course, mm-hmm. right? So you don't know what's going to happen on the course. You don't know how the course is made. Somebody might tell you that this is a good course or this is a bad course.
Yeah.
But for you, it can be something different. Not only that, it takes a great level of mental focus. Think about it. You run in 5-6 miles or whatever, and you have to maintain focus within that long period of time. To make sure that you don't, because I know if I go running for 5 minutes, I start thinking about a whole bunch of stuff in the back of my head while I'm running.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And then I'll come back to it, and I'll be like, oh, shit, like, I didn't realize, like, how much running I did or didn't do or whatever. It's kind of like sometimes you're driving in a car, and you just kind of go out.
Yeah.
And you come back, and you're like, oh, shit, was I speeding?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Right. So it takes a great level of mental focus to be able to hold on to that in a race. You don't know when the person's coming up behind you. You don't know how many people. You have to be strategic. You have to be patient. You have to know when to speed up. You got to know when to slow down. You got to know how to navigate. And it takes great skill to be able to do that over a long period of time like that. And that's why I have an appreciation for what they do and the sport and how creative and awesome it is. You know what I mean? It's way more ballsy than people think it is.
Yeah, true. And that's kind of, it's how, like, you just got to fight through everything. It's weird how, like, sports really do prepare you for life. I think that's so, like,
yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's so interesting.
That's why I fell in love with it, and that's why I can't leave it alone.
Yeah, I think that it, it's so interesting. Like, you learn so many, like, life lessons. But as far as adversity, like, like, that's kind of, I mean, no matter what sport you play, you're going to face some adversity, whether it be.
Well, the
go ahead.
The cool thing about sports is it exposes how you handle things.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yep.
It exposes that, so
it kind of lets you. It kind of lets you know.
In a position, right.
It lets you know who you are.
Position where you have to make a decision.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And some people don't want to. Some people don't want to see who they are.
Yep. They run. So, they shy away from it.
So, right. So they don't put themselves in that position to be challenged or to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You ever heard? You ever heard of people?
That question.
You ever heard of people? I know when I was younger, somebody said it to me and I didn't understand it, but you ever heard people say, oh, like, sometimes people are afraid to fail, but sometimes also people are afraid to, like, succeed?
Yeah,
I feel like that's the, it's the same thing. I feel
I
like
think
it's
we
a,
talked about that earlier this year.
I think we did, but year. I know, I think it's the same thing. Sometimes people get into a position of, like, they're just afraid to see what their true potential is because they're not necessarily afraid of the success. They're afraid of the adversity it's going to take to get to that success. You know what I mean? They don't want to see.
It could be that, or they're afraid that there's going to be a greater expectation.
Yes, that too. Absolutely, that too.
So it's like if I break the school record, right?
Mm-hmm.
My coach is going to come to me the next day and be like, all right, so you ready for the next challenge?
Yeah.
It's like, what, bro? I just broke the school record. Like, what do you mean next challenge? Like, no, we weren't comparing you to the guys that have ran at the school. We compare you to the guy that is the best in the state.
Yep.
And then we're comparing you to the best in the country. And, you know, the best outside. You see what I'm saying? Like, so it depends on the level of where you want to reach, and some people they just don't care to reach that highest level. So it's like, in order for me to avoid feeling that pressure of having to do better, I will just concede.
Wow, that's
where it's at.
Yeah, that,
it's sad.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's so sad.
It's one of those, yeah.
That's when potential gets left. You know what I mean? Like, you just leaving potential just there. Like,
just leaving it. Just there. And then it's people out here. I sent the video, I don't know if I sent it to you the other day, of a dude playing basketball, and he out there dropping buckets.
Oh, yeah, with one arm.
My man
was getting busy.
With one arm.
Shout out to
dropping buckets. And it's just like, what would that individual do for another arm?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And here you are with the potential, with the ability, with the, you know, you have everything given to you. And here you are wasting it because you don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Basically,
you're living through your feelings as opposed to being the best version of yourself.
Yes, sir. I mean,
that leads us right into our next topic.
Yep, it sure does.
Mental. What did we say?
Mental privilege.
So, quick story today. I was talking to one of my coworkers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me how a student came to her office, and the student was upset and crying, and it was real emotional. She was real emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, naturally, I'm thinking in my head, like, wow, what could, you know, what could have happened? And the student was upset with her parents because they decided to, they told her that this year they weren't going to give her, or they couldn't give her, the refund check. Because the dad's car was acting up, and, you know, they needed to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
This is a high school student. And so, for whatever reason, her parents thought it was because they filed for her. They gave her the money. Right? So, which to me, I'm just like, what? Like, you provide shelter, I mean, clothing, food. I'm sure you, they purchased stuff for her that they don't need to get for her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All throughout the year and every year. And that money is not hers. She shouldn't feel entitled to that money. But the fact that they're not going to give her the money because they just can't this year because of, you know, things are tight and they need to be able to get a car. And the fact that she was that upset about it, it behooves me. I'm just like, what? One, you're not even understanding enough to understand that the pressures of that your parents are going through, especially in this time.
Well, you gotta think about it. Kids don't, like, when you're in high school, like, you've kind of that's like your that's like you're still mentally, you're still, I don't want to say not responsible, but you're not responsible. So, like, you don't even know. Like, you don't even know what that feels like. You know what I mean? To, like, have some type of responsibility. All you do is go to school.
I would say some kids do and some kids don't.
Some kids, that's where the mental privilege comes in. Because some kids don't have the privilege to be able to not have responsibility. And some kids grow up fast because they have to, because due to circumstances. You know what I mean? Right. So
what do you think is more of a... an asset or whatnot. Like, I would rather, honestly, and I know it's rough or whatever, but I would honestly be more open to growing up fast and learning how to navigate and how to handle situations and how to combat things, as opposed to being given everything. And or having that sense and feeling of, you know, I don't have to be responsible or entitlement.
Let's see. Okay, keep going.
Once you because most of those kids, they end up, because in this society, we have this thing, right, where we go, oh, well, you're 18 now, so you're on your own. You gotta get out. You gotta go. And now, those kids are the ones that fail.
Mm-hmm.
They completely fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have no idea how to navigate the real world. Because their parents either did everything for them or made them feel like, or made them feel entitled, allowed them to feel entitled, to the point where they can't see outside of anything that has nothing to do with what they want. If that makes sense.
It makes sense.
So if it doesn't make sense to them and to their bottom line, then it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Period. They can't look into themselves and say, you know what, things are different, we're going through a pandemic, my parents don't have it right now, I'm going to try to be empathetic and play a different role.
Well, I feel like, all right, so this one here is crazy, because I feel like in her particular situation, she's like the extreme, right? Because how I feel is I to be honest, I hear what you're saying. I hear, like, okay, I'm putting it in perspective. When you think about, like, successful people, whether it be sports, whether it be just regular business people or anything like that, a lot of them do have a story, right? They have the, whether I was homeless or I was a foster kid or my mom. You know what I mean? They had some type of struggle growing up. So
or they didn't.
Or yeah. So, but I'm saying that's just. Trump. But then, you see how he turned out. But no. So, right. But a lot of them do have a story, and you kind of get in a sense of entitlement. Like when you don't have a story, because it's like you kind of like you're not working for things. Like in her, I guess you could say in her like perspective, she like she has a sense of entitlement. She's been getting this so long, and now sudden things change, and she don't understand. One, she's a kid; she's not really gonna understand. And two, since she's so entitled, she can't even really step back to figure out why.
My thing is, she understood enough to be upset, right? And not just upset. She went to someone to speak to them about how unfair it is and how it's her money, and if they're filing for her, she should be the one to get the money. So she has some perspective.
She has the wrong perspective. Right. Exactly. She has the wrong perspective, and I don't even know who gave her that perspective. Because in my position, I will say this, to answer the question because you asked earlier, I mean, granted, I don't know. That's a hard question for me to answer as far as, like, would I rather grow up fast and have a struggle, or would I rather, I guess you could say, quote-unquote, be privileged?
I'm not saying, first of all, we got to realize that we're going to have struggles, right?
Yeah, everybody does. It's just broke struggles and rich struggles. Happens. It's different.
When does that struggle occur?
Yes, because I'm a firm believer of I feel like as kids grow, I know I'm gonna do this with my kids, regardless of how people look at me or whatever, because I know my parents, I can't say my mom, but my dad definitely, like, that he don't care, like, you 18, you out type thing, like, he that type person. Oh, if you need help, all right, I'll give you like 3 months, and then, you know what I mean? But like,
right.
My whole thing is, I feel like kids should be allowed to. And I'm saying kids, even like under 25, I feel like you're still kind of figuring out life. So I'm going to consider you a kid still. So I'm going to say even in like 19, 20, 21, 22, I feel like you should be allotted that time to make mistakes. Not saying that you should be out there being stupid.
Right.
But you should be allotted that time to make mistakes and not be forced to make certain decisions out of desperation, right? So you should have, I don't want to say you should have a crutch, but you should have like a little safety net. You know what I mean? Like whether you know it's there or not, it should be there. So that way,
it'd be nice, right?
Yeah, like it'd be nice.
And I do agree with that. It'd be nice to always have that safety net.
Because then you can kind of go for what you really, you know what I mean? You can kind of figure life out. Like, you know what I mean? Figure out what you want to do. Okay, that don't work. Well,
the thing is, all right, so the thing about life is, it's whether you're 19, 20, or whether you're 45, 50, you're still figuring life out.
Yeah, but I feel like, but I honestly. Is,
no,
but,
I know, I get what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I absolutely get what you're saying. And that's why, as people are growing up, like if my 3-year-old hits my 11-year-old, and my 11-year-old kick him across the room, my 11-year-old is gonna get more of a. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you're right. As you're growing, you get more responsibilities upon you. You have to. You're held more accountable for stuff and all that type of stuff. So I would say, a 50-year-old. Should be held more accountable than a 25-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I get it. However, interestingly enough, we should all understand that our safety net got to be the Most High.
100%.
Because that's the only one that we can really count on.
True.
And because people can change their mind. Your mom could be like, yeah, I'll be there for you, blah, 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 blah. And then, but under the pretense that you do things the way that she wants you to do.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely.
And if you don't, then it's like, nah, like, I'm not helping you if you're going to do it the way you want to do it, or whatever the case may be. So, but life is a big process of figuring stuff out. And the thing that we have to try to reach is, when I say reach sooner than later, is figuring out what our purpose is and what we're passionate about.
Well, see, that's the thing that they don't. I feel like that's where school kind of fails us, because they don't teach us that. They teach us to be kind of the opposite, right? The exact opposite. Because
they don't teach you. They can't really teach you what your purpose and passion is, but they don't teach you that your purpose, finding out what that is the most important thing.
Yeah, but they. I feel like you're right, but I also feel like they can teach you what your purpose and passion is. Because take me for an example, right? Like I'm the kid that, like, granted, I can't say I really had too much of a struggle growing up. Yeah, like my dad wasn't there, okay, but my mom pretty much. I was only child, so like I was spoiled. Like my mom did everything. Like I ain't have to, you know what I mean? But she taught me manners. She taught me. Discipline and stuff like that. I also learned that from sports and this, that, and the third. And like she had me do chores, so like I had a sense of responsibility, like for a kid. Right. You know what I mean? So I can't really say I had a struggle. I didn't have to grow up fast. I was a kid. You know what I mean? So, I can't say I had a hard childhood. However, I did go through life. Now looking back at it, I went through life. I was a kid that always had good grades, like did extracurricular activities, sports. I was in clubs. I did everything that like society says you should do to be successful, right? Uh-huh. And here I am, 27. Like that shit ain't matter at all. Like I realize that now. Like nobody told me that when I was in high school. Like I'm in the same boat. I'm like literally. I look at myself and I'm like, yo, I'm in the same boat, or sometimes even worse when I compare myself to other people.
As you get older, you start feeling like it's worse.
Yeah.
Because like we said, as you get older, you feel like you're supposed to be elevating.
Exactly. And I feel like where school should step in is, instead of, because right, you got to think about it, all throughout your school until you get to college, after your like sophomore year of college, to be honest. So you, let's say you're doing 14 years of school where they're just teaching you how to be well-rounded, right? And I feel like that's counterproductive to you figuring out what you're good at. Like me personally,
We figured out school really is just teaching us how to work for someone.
Yes, 100%.
That's it. And they're teaching us how to be a societal person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not teaching you how to be creative.
Nope.
It's not teaching you how to think outside the box.
Nope.
It's not. It's a business that is set up to make sure that you graduate.
Yep.
So that they can continue. It's like they can continue to keep the doors open.
Exactly. Because you think about it, you're in school for what, 8 hours out of the day, 7-8 hours out of the day, and you really can only really be creative or kind of do what you want to do in school for a half hour, and that's like your clubs. Or if you want to do sports, okay, you're only in, like, you're in school for like 7-8 hours, but you doing sports for, you got practice for 2-3 hours a day.
And that's after school.
That's extra stuff. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's where school kind of is misleading, because they should kind of hone in. Like you can't teach nobody what their purpose is, but anybody can look. Any older adult can look at a kid.
You have to have experiences to figure out what your purpose is.
Yeah, but listen, but at the same time,
you have to have challenges.
But okay,
to figure out what your purpose is.
All right, well, let me ask you this though. You have 3 boys, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Obviously, your 3-year-old is too young to tell right now. But your oldest two, you can kind of, you've been around them enough and you know them enough to kind of know what their strengths and weaknesses are, correct?
Some, yes.
Exactly. Not all, because they're still growing.
Not all.
But right now, currently. So, my thing is,
absolutely,
I feel like if I'm a teacher, and you've been a teacher, so you can attest to this. Mm-hmm. If you're in class with kids, and you're in class with them every single day, right? Every single day for however long, even if it's just one period or whatever throughout the day. But you see them every day for a certain amount of time. You can kind of see what their strengths and weaknesses are. So what I'm saying is,
or get an idea, and I do it with athletics too.
Yeah, exactly. It goes with that. You can kind of, you know who the quarterback and who a wide receiver, you know what I mean?
Right. You get an idea of how to navigate kids in order to see if that thing sparks something else.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right.
So, my thing is, the reason why I'm saying that is I feel like that's where, okay, the nudging should happen. You shouldn't make kids do whatever, but I feel like, okay, have you tried this? You know what I mean? Have you done this?
There is a responsibility. There is a responsibility to the school to actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there's also an agenda.
And that's the problem.
Does not align.
Yep.
The agenda does not align with the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the problem is.
100%. And I feel like
The agenda is test scores, and the agenda is measurables, and so on and so forth, and graduation rates. That's the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what keeps the money coming in.
Yep. It's always you follow the money trail. It's always going
to
lead you.
But that's the it goes back to the people that though, because. The first thing that a person does when they go into a neighborhood to think about buying a house or anything like that is they look at the schools,
mm-hmm.
right? And they look at the rating of the schools, and if it's a 4, if it's a 5, or whatever the case may be.
That kind of tells you the type of people that's there.
that's what they think.
True.
That's what they're judging it off of.
Mm-hmm.
But that... those ratings are only based off of test scores and you see what I'm saying?
Test scores, graduation rates.
It goes back to the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the people are the ones that is supplying. It's like they're feeding they're feeding the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're feeding what the system wants them to feed in order to keep it. You see what I'm saying? So the mindset of the people wasn't so caught up on it's kind of like an athlete, right?
Mm-hmm.
A football player. They rank them from 1 star to 5 stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the 5 star is supposed to be the best of the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times that's not the ones that, listen, the NFL has a roster of 60 guys or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 7 rounds in the draft, bro.
Yeah.
There's only 7 rounds. So, on average, the NFL teams are drafting 10 players.
Quote, unquote, the best of the best.
They're drafting 10 players out of the 60 they got on the roster, bro. You understand what I'm...
Yeah,
So, majority of the people that is on the roster were undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the people that is on the roster that's allowing this team to move forward and to win championships and win Super Bowls and all this type of stuff,
we're regular guys. And you gotta think about it, some of the studs wasn't even high draft picks.
Thank you.
Like a lot of the studs wasn't high draft picks.
Analysts. We have these analysts, you have these people who are supposed to be experts,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying Tom Brady was drafted in what, round 6?
I have no clue. Russell Wilson was drafted late too. DK Metcalf wasn't drafted early. You know what I mean?
Bro,
like,
I think Brady was drafted in the 6th round.
Tom Brady was drafted like dumb late, like almost the end. Like,
right, come on, man. So this is what I'm talking about. So, but if people keep feeding the narrative, then the system will never change.
Mm-hmm.
If people start putting more emphasis and more wholeness and more importance on mental health, on the arts, on being creative, that's why they start coming out with those schools. My 11-year-old goes to a creative arts school.
Mm-hmm. Because they start doing that stuff. And I feel like that's good because...
It's good, but the problem is those funding is coming from another source.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It ain't coming from the
state or the
money.
Exactly.
Yeah, the state
where it should be coming from, because they're keep like the system is, they like the people keep feeding the narrative of this system, of this agenda,
okay,
and in tune,
right.
What's that? what's happening is,
and then they're mad kids that it's not that the school is not really servicing what their kids need.
Exactly. You got to think about it. You got like that. All it's doing is building people who can't think for themselves. One, and then two, when the kids get in their 20s, now they're figuring life out. And they're figuring what, right. You know what I mean? What they want to do, what they like. And you think, right. You would think so that a 23-year-old person, you would think, because I know I would say this, when I was a teenager, I thought I was going to have my life figured out by like 23, 24. You know what I mean? Like you think that, okay, by that age, I should kind of know where I'm at. And like you 23, 24, you still just figuring out life. You still trying to find yourself, figure out what you like, what you don't like. Shit, that should have already been found out 10 years prior. Right. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the issue.
On top of it, we don't get as many experiences as young people because our parents don't do a very good job of exposing us to things because they always want to protect us.
Exactly. Protect
You're learning more stuff from the TV and from your friends at school than you are at home.
You got the factor of protection and the factor of sometimes they just can't. Like they you want to give them that exposure, but you just don't know. And that goes back to mental privilege.
Can't give you what I don't know.
That goes back to mental privilege.
You know what I mean? I'm doing what right.
You know what I mean?
Part of mental privilege.
Have you seen the TV show? Oh my God, it's on Netflix. Dang, what's it called?
A lot of shows on Netflix.
Nah, it's the football one with the dude who transferred Tay Diggs and he's the coach.
I know you're talking about.
Okay. So remember, in the first season, I believe it was the first season, before they won the championship or whatever like that, I remember they had, it might have been the second season after they won. I don't know, but remember the time when, if you've seen the whole thing, it was an episode where the brother, I guess. Well, not he's not the brother, but the...
The quarterback.
Yeah, him. I think he was like... drunk or something like that, or wasn't really taking, they had like a little tryout thing, like for like a college scout or something like that, and he wasn't really taking it serious, right? And they had the other kids from the lead character's old school come and do the same
thing. The quarterback.
Yeah, remember they had that back and forth because the other quarterback was like, yo, like I'm on it, you know what I mean? I feel like that's like a prime example of mental privilege. Absolutely. Because you have the dude that's like, yo, if I don't do this, I might not even go to college. You know what I mean?
My back is up against the wall, bro.
And then you got this other dude who like, man, if I don't make it today,
either day, daddy can pay for it.
Yes, daddy can pay for it. He got connections. I'm going to be on somebody's team.
Right.
And that's the mental privilege. Right. And that's scary.
And we cause that as parents, and we don't even realize. And the dad was from like, you know what I mean? He was from the hood.
So he
had to grind through all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, he done raised his child, and didn't even realize that he raised his child to have mental privilege and to not realize that you have to grind for things, and that it's important for you to not feel as though things are going to be given to you.
And that goes back to what he did that because that goes back to what you said earlier, protection. He was trying to protect his kids from how he grew up.
Right.
Because remember that episode when they got pulled over in the car? And he started snapping on the cops, and then at the end, he was like, yo, why didn't you ever tell him that he can't be talking back to the cops like that? He was like, I thought I ain't have to. I was protect. I thought, like, I got him out of that environment. Mental privilege, bro. You know what I mean? Like, and that's scary. Like, that's scary. Like, because you got to think about it. I dream of one day. We all do. We all dream of giving our kids the life that we didn't have, right? So the opportunities, the finances, the trips, everything. So it's like,
but at the same time, you have to prepare them for the life that they will have.
Exactly. So like, so I guess what I'm trying to say is like, how do you create privilege without mental privilege? If that makes sense,
right? So it's like you build up a sense of confidence in your child because you don't want your child not to be confident. Because even when the guy went off on the cop or whatever, he was right, and he showed confidence, and he didn't show fear. right? Yeah. Which some of the other kids show. So you do want your kid to stand up for themselves, yeah. And they should have the right.
100%.
Just like if you when even with the Black Lives Matter stuff and marching and all that type of stuff, and even when they were protesting and not and being protesting without vandalizing or anything or
yeah,
even
peaceful.
Doing anything wrong.
Yeah, being peaceful.
The projection was that they were being they were wrong for what they were doing and it wasn't peaceful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other day when all those white folks went up to the Capitol building or whoever went up there to the Capitol building, they went up there with confidence.
Smooth
confidence.
You know what
confidence. I mean? I feel like a group of black people would have been afraid to go up there.
Yeah, you couldn't get a group of black people to go. I wish somebody...
They'd be like, nah, y'all tripping. You know what I mean? Man, they went up there. Them white folks went up there like, man, listen, this is our building.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
They did have confidence.
They were taught. That's taught. That sense of confidence, that sense of privilege, all that, that's taught. The issue with it is they didn't teach the other side of it, the humbling side of it. They didn't teach them how to be in character and change roles. That's the problem. You know what I mean? You don't want your child to have that entitlement factor where they feel as though they can do and say and get away with anything they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're human beings just like other people. But you also don't want them to receive that type of treatment from somebody and then duck their head and be like, okay,
yeah,
if you say so.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you want them to be able to articulate themselves and to stand up for themselves but not be brash and ignorant and rude about it.
Yeah.
So you have to teach balance because everything in life is about balance. And as they transition through ages, you have to elevate that balance for them. So maybe when my son is three, he can navigate a certain thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll just spank him on his hand when he does something that he's not supposed to do or whatever. If I tell him to do something and he gives me attitude or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when he's five, I can't spank him on his hand no more because that ain't gonna work.
He gonna look at you like you crazy.
That ain't gonna work. Like, okay. or you tell him to go sit in the... Now when he's five, maybe I gotta take the belt out a little bit.
Or, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
When he turns eight,
when he turns eight, maybe I gotta take something. You see what I'm saying? So at different levels, you gotta adjust your children. And I'm using the punishment analogy, but you have to do it within everything that they do. You have to place more responsibility. You have to teach them how to manage certain things and help them to understand that there's levels to this.
Mm-hmm.
So what you got away with at five, you're not going to get away with at eight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you
at five, I allow you. If at five, I allow you to stay the night to go hang out with your friends for an hour. Now at eight, you might can hang out with your friends for 2 hours.
Yeah,
but you also gotta, you know, make sure that you home at the time I told you to come home or whatever.
Yeah, as
you gotta level up, and that's where people have a problem. They continue to treat and maneuver kids the same way throughout a long period of time in their life, and then when they turn 18, they like, all right, you 18, go figure it out.
Because that's crazy, because like you think about it, like watching the TV show, I keep going back to that, because it's like, how do you, like, because how you said, like, you struggle regardless, right? Like, you have your struggles, your family struggles, your society struggles, whatever. But how do you create, you can create the humbleness, right? Like, that's the way you just explained it. So, like, we get that. But how do you create the hunger of the one quarterback but still have the privilege of the other, right? Still have all the newest gear, the newest...
What you have to do is... And it's a very, very easy answer. you have to expose them.
So what you mean? You got he should have took Brent to the hood.
Remember, you don't have to go live there. But remember, he never took him back there.
Nah, true.
He never knew what his dad's struggle was.
True.
He never knew what his dad went through. He never knew the sacrifice his dad had to make. He didn't know none of it.
True.
So he shadowed him from all of it, which is why he once he got older and he started talking to his grandfather.
Yeah, he started going out.
He started navigating back there more and more and more because that was a side of him that he never got exposed to.
Yeah.
He never learned about.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We shut shit out for different reasons. One of the reasons is because the dad knew that he had some stuff going on that, you know, he didn't want to come out.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And he wanted his kids to, like, not be in that environment that he grew up. You know what I mean? Like, you get that.
Right. But my thing is, they don't have to be in the environment for you to expose them to it. When I say expose them, tell them about it.
Yeah.
Drive by that mug. Go show them, like, you know what I mean? Make them say to themselves, like, yo, this, my dad went through it, man. And then they can ask more questions. Because that's what kids do. That's what kids do the best.
Yeah.
Is ask questions. Well, how did you get through this? How did it this? How did it that? And it might be, and they might ask some uncomfortable questions.
Yeah.
Some questions that you might not have expected them to ask. But that's okay. I mean, you can answer it honestly without giving all the details. But it's important for them to know. You know what I mean? Because they might, if they don't know your story, and whether they know your story or not, guess what? They're going to hear somebody's story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to hear somebody's story. Because they'll come home and be like, well, such and such mom let them do this.
Yeah.
And such and such dad let them bought them that.
Yeah.
That's still somebody else's story.
Yeah.
They always going to hear a story. They kids. That's what kids do. They tell stories.
Yeah.
Whether it's true or not. And if they don't know if something is true, and if they ask them all these types of questions and they can't get the answer, what do? They make it up. They make it up. They try to find out if somebody's dating or somebody, you know, cheated on somebody or whatever, and they don't know the answer, they create it.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. Shit, adults do that.
I was about to say that, yep.
They create shit in their head.
Shit don't change.
Because we live in a society where we always gotta know. So if you don't know and you have no way to know, you just make it up. It's sick.
I was about to say that,
and
yeah.
Unfortunate. It's sick and unfortunate because a lot of the stuff shouldn't even matter to you that much. Because most of the times it ain't got nothing to do with you. But that's the story that sells, right?
Yeah, 100% all the time.
That's what you're going to see on the news, right?
All the time.
That's why they say the news lies so much. Because half the time they don't know, but they want to be the first one to have the story.
Yep.
And so the story's taking too long to come out.
They're just going to put whatever out. And plus the lie is always more entertaining than the truth.
Right. And there's always some truth. There's always some truth in the lie.
Always. Always.
So it's not necessarily going to look like a lie.
Mm-hmm.
There's speculation Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson's relationship is tarnished. Now, Carson Wentz never said that. Doug Peterson never said that. But because Carson Wentz didn't dispute it, then it must be the truth.
Mm-hmm. Instead of it, they looking at it like, okay, he's just being the bigger person. Like, I ain't got time for that right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But they don't care.
But that's how it works, man.
It is. That's crazy.
But yeah, my brother, this is a great conversation.
This was a great conversation, as usual.
And hopefully we gave some perspective and some people got an idea of, you know, just where our thought process goes, and it opens up somebody's mind and bring more thought and more conversation to their truth. But yeah, we're going to continue this thing. I'm about to sign off tonight.
Yes, sir.
Gotta go get some rest. And we'll be back at it next week.
Definitely next week. And for those of y'all, we still trying to get these kids to come over here and play ball. So in the description, or reach out to Mr. X3 so that way y'all can, if y'all want to donate or help out any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
Well,
so right now the plan is to get them into Midwest Prep. Midwest Prep starts their season at the end of February. So right now trying to get some funds up to get them in that program. It's $2,500 for a kid. And then they have to obviously pay for their airfare to come up here. So that's what we're looking at. All right, so whatever help and support you can give, we appreciate it. Touch base and much love.
Much love, much love. All right, bro. Well, I'll get at you next week.
Yes, sir. You have a good night.
All right, you too. Peace.
Tell the family I'll say hello.
Likewise.
All right, later. Wow.